This is Shoulda Bet More with Will Hill, only on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the Shoulda Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Shoulda Bet More podcast. Jeff Parles coming up from ESPN Las Vegas, and we will discuss the NBA Finals. The Knicks, I don't know if you've heard, are two wins away from holding up the trophy, having a parade. The New York Knicks is NBA champions. We're halfway there and more than halfway there when you consider they've won two on the road. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about NHL Stanley Cup. We'll get into some baseball, some football. So excited to talk to Jeff. And the NBA is where we start. A game three on Monday night. Knicks 2-point favorites, total 215.5. And boy, we're on one hell of a run here with these finals games between the NBA and the NHL. 5 for 5 in terms of good games. That was a tremendous game on Friday night. That was going to be a really tough loss. Up 14, you know, you put your head down. You walk out of the room, you come back, it's tied. The Spurs have a 2-point lead in the final minute. You're thinking, wow, this thing's going to be 1-1. We're headed for a long series. Great win by the Spurs, bad loss for the Knicks. And the Knicks tie it. You get the goaltending call, 1-point game. And then you fast forward to just an awful turnover. And this is really, to me, the story of the series so far. Yeah, it's narrative. Yeah, it's result-based. The Spurs just look young. The Spurs just look young. And the, you know, the Knicks just don't beat themselves. And the Spurs are starting to feel like there's a couple teams that remind me of Shaq and Penny, the Magic, just, you know what, weren't ready, too young. Nick Anderson missed the 4 free throws, and they never recovered. Similar to that, not only a young team, and there's parallels between Shaq and Wemby, but lost the first two at home and got swept. We'll see if that's the case with this Spurs team, but this Spurs team is reminding me a little bit of that Orlando team. And OKC in 2012, when they had Harden, they had Durant, they had Westbrook, they got 3 future MVPs, but they just weren't ready, and that's a team. They won game one, then lost the next 4, and couple of those games were close. That was closer than a 5-game series. I know people remember that as a 5-gamer, and the Heat dominated game 5. So people remember, oh, it ended in 5 and the Heat won by a million. But that was actually closer. Games 2, 3, and 4 were kind of coin flips. And, you know, looking ahead to game 3, there's 2 ways to look at it. You can say, you know what, don't overreact to the result, obviously. You know, you only have to win 4 of these. The Knicks have won 2, so you have to react to that aspect of it. But just handicapping game 3, yes, the Knicks are up 2-0, but this series probably should be 1-1, could be 1-1, should be 1-1, where Spurs, like I said, we're up by 2 with less than a minute left in game 2, led by 14 in the middle of the third quarter of game 3, had a lead with a couple minutes to go in the fourth quarter of game 1. The Spurs probably could have, should have gotten one of these games, and if it was 1-1, you'd probably feel differently about this. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is, man, this team is young, and they are literally younger than some of these college teams now with all the, you know, the wild transfer portal rules where these kids could basically, you know, play college until they're middle-aged men. The Spurs are a super young team, and going into that building Monday night is going to be just an impossible task, an impossible chore. You never want to make too much of home court advantage because, hey, it's still a basketball game. It's, you know, it's the line from Hoosiers. The hoop is still 10 feet tall no matter where you play. And you figure if you're making the case for the Spurs, hey, if these teams are pretty much even. I think we've learned that through 2 games, even though it's a small sample. These teams are pretty evenly matched. It's not like the Spurs are way better. It's not like the Knicks are way better. Pretty evenly matched teams. If you're just going to play coin flip after coin flip, if you're the Spurs, you know what? Maybe you're due to win one of these. And all of a sudden, if it's 2-1 and you're going into game 4 on Wednesday night, 2-1 series, you're going to feel a lot differently about this. And you're going to feel like, man, there's a lot of pressure on the Knicks in game 4. So we'll see how it plays out. I actually like the Knicks. I think they go up 3-0. I just think that building is going to be crazy. And I just think even if it is a close game, and I could see a scenario where the Spurs in that building with their youth just kind of get run out of the gym. If it's a close game, I just trust the Knicks more in a close game. They're tougher. They're more experienced. Those guys have played a lot of big games in college. You know, the Villanova guys, Towns went deep into the playoffs with Minnesota. You know, the Knicks were in a conference finals last year. I know the Spurs have experience from OKC last round, and maybe we were all too quick to dismiss their inexperience. Say, you know what, they beat the Thunder, they're good, we don't have to worry about their age. And again, try not to play the results too much, but the Spurs just seem younger and seem more inexperienced, and I just trust Brunson to get a bucket. You know what, tie game with 3 minutes to go, you give Brunson the ball, you know, you close your eyes, you expect, if you open them 20 seconds, 30 seconds later, you expect the Knicks to have 2 or 3 more points on the board. You just figure Brunson's going to figure out a way to either put the ball through the hoop, get to the line, both. I didn't love the call. After the Wemby turnover, Brunson gets bumped, hits the floor. I get it. It's a foul. You have to call it. I thought he embellished the contact there, but I can't say it's a bad call. I just didn't love the call there. I think if you ignored that, I wouldn't have had a problem with that either. I didn't think that was really that big of a foul for that type of situation, but I trust Brunson to put the ball through the hoop or get to the line more than I trust, you know, Wemby at this point. And as great as he is defensively, the offense, you know, it's still settling for a lot of shots. It's fadeaways. You just don't love the shots for the Spurs. Castle's a good player. He's going to be a tremendous player. You don't really trust him to get a bucket. There's just not that bucket getter for the Spurs that you trust in a big spot like you do with the Knicks, who not only have Brunson to get you a bucket, but Towns and Anunoby. They've just got gutty veteran players and a deep team. You know, Shamit's hit big shots. You go down the line. So we'll see here. I mean, at some point, you almost feel like you're due for a stinker because, like I said, the three NHL games have been great. The two NBA games have been great. At some point here, we're going to get a game that's not a classic, but hopefully these games stay good. And I think, you know, bets aside, we're all rooting for our bets. We're all rooting for our favorite teams, and those are the priorities. Ideally, get this thing to 6 or 7, get the NHL to 6 or 7. And it feels like summer comes very quickly here when you get short series sweeps, 5-gamers in a... You know, in these NBA finals, I'm thinking of this too. If you're the Spurs, would you sign for a split? If I could tell you right now, you're not getting both of them in New York, that's asking too much, but you get one of them and you're going back to New York and you're going back to San Antonio, it's 3-1. You figure you probably won't lose a third straight game in San Antonio. You have a chance to make it 3-2. And that puts you in a position where, hey, if you just could ever win game 6, you got game 7 at home. I wonder if the Spurs, if you gave them true serum, would sign for a split in New York. I'm not sure they would. I'm not sure I would, but I think it's a reasonable question. But I think the Knicks win the game. I think probably a close game. There is part of me that's rooting for the Spurs just to make this an interesting series, a longer series. I think, you know, if this ends up being a sweep, this could obviously, there's a scenario where this could have been a much longer series between two evenly matched teams. But hey, 2 coin flips so far. They've both landed on Knicks, and we'll see what game 3 brings. But I like the Knicks. I think that atmosphere will just be too much for the young Spurs. Again, part of me hopes I'm wrong, and we'll see here. We'll see if the spread can ever come into account in some of these games, because it almost did on Friday in game 2 where the team won but didn't cover. That almost happened. If the Spurs would have won game, it looked like they were going to cover. But these teams that are favored, when they win, they cover. When the underdog covers, they win the game outright. So we haven't gotten any games where the spread has come into account in a long time in these playoffs. And you wouldn't expect it with a 2-point spread to come into account in game number 3. Granted, game 2 landed on 1. Knicks won by a point. So if that were the case, you know, in game 3, the Spurs would cover, but the Knicks would win. But we haven't gotten a lot of those scenarios here where the favorite wins, but they don't cover. MVP, you know, it would probably be Towns after 2 games, but you know what? This just in, the series doesn't end after 2 games. Brunson, even though his performances haven't been efficient, he still has 30-plus points in these games. He's the face of the team. I think there's a tiebreaker element to that that goes into it that favors Brunson. I think, you know, I know Towns has outplayed Wemby, and he'd have a very, you know, valiant case for it. And we had Jonathan Montombo on before game 2 saying, hey, bet Towns 12-1. That's obviously a tremendous bet. A bet you wish you had if you hadn't made it yet, or if you didn't make it. But I don't know. Are you dying to bet Towns at +180? I think it's properly priced. I know it's boring, but Brunson even money, Towns +180. I think it's properly priced. Is 180 enough to jump in on Towns? You figure he's been the best player. He's outplayed Wemby. That's going to be a big narrative, which it will be. But then the fact that Brunson is just the heart and soul of this team, I think goes a long way with voters. So 180, I would get if you wanted to bet it, but not enough for me to play it. So I will say this too, a couple things about this Knicks run. First of all, I can't remember a team. I was trying to think of teams that had this kind of run where a month ago, 2 months ago, if you asked anyone outside of Knicks fans, hey, is this a championship team? And maybe even most Knicks fans, most people would have said, no, probably not. Good team, probably can't win a title. To go from just like a pretty good team, and they were a pretty good team. Look, 3 seed, made the conference finals last year. To go from a pretty good team to an unbeatable, undefeated freight train and the possibility that they could close this playoffs on a 15-game winning streak is one of the more improbable runs I can remember in sports history. And I was trying to think of parallels in other sports. It doesn't happen in baseball, hockey, it doesn't happen. College is different, but I was thinking of that UConn team. Now it's 6 wins instead of 15. That first of back-to-back team, so the 23 UConn team that went into the tournament as a 4 seed and absolutely destroyed everybody. We're actually losing at the half to Iona on St. Patrick's Day that Friday afternoon In the first round, and Hurley had never won a game for UConn in the tournament. He lost early the year before, and it was like, man, is Hurley the guy? Is this, you know, this would be a bad loss. Is there pressure on Hurley? And they come back to win that game, win it comfortably, and then they win the next five, all going away, and then won the next six the next year going away. That first UConn team is the only team I can think of, but again, it's college. It's different, than the NBA. This is just such an, if not unusual run, unprecedented. I mean, really, this is that kind of run where it's hard to believe this team has won 13 straight basketball games. It's just an incredible, incredible run. I don't know how anybody could have seen this coming when it was 2-1 Atlanta on the night of the NFL draft, and the Knicks lost that game by a point and had to turn around on Saturday. And Saturday was, I think they were a small favorite. It was basically a coin flip game. They're a coin flip from going down 3-1 to Atlanta in the first round. And to not lose a game six is remarkable. But I will say this, if you lost this series, if you came into the series, you know what? You made the finals for the Knicks. If you lost in six or seven games, you'd be heartbroken. You'd be upset, but you had a great run. You are now at the point where if you're the Knicks, you have to win the series. This would now be a devastating, not a bad loss, a devastating loss if you don't figure out a way to get two of the next five. Now, look, the Spurs got to beat you 4 out of 5. All you need is two of the next five. I think the Knicks will win. I think there will be a parade here in the next week or 10 days. But you're at the point now where for the Knicks, you have to win. You can't lose this series. It would be such a bitter, bitter pill to swallow for Knicks fans to have this long of a drought, to be up 2-0, going home for 3-4. If you are somehow not holding up the trophy in the next week or two, that's one you're never going to get over. It's going to be an all-time loss. But I don't think it'll be the case. I think the Knicks go up 3-0. And I could see a scenario where game four is a party at the Garden. Part of me, I'm rooting for the Knicks. I don't want the Knicks fans to have their hearts broken, but there is part of me that wants the Spurs to make this interesting. We'll see what Jeff Parles thinks. ESPN Las Vegas, he is coming up next. This should have been more podcast.
Welcome back to Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back. Shoulda Bet More podcast, and he is back. You can catch him ESPN Las Vegas, where he does a fantastic job. A lot to discuss, Jeff Parles, NBA Finals, NHL, baseball. But first, thanks for coming on. How's it going?
It's good to be with you, buddy. We got, it's pretty amazing growing up where I grew up that the Knicks are two wins away from winning a championship, and it would be a shocker if they didn't win a championship at this point. It's pretty crazy where we're at in 2026.
It sure is. Before we get to thoughts on game three, I want to talk MVP, a bunch of different things. Can you think of any, and you're good at this, can you think of any sports parallel to a team where, you know what, if you ask most people a month or two ago before the playoffs started, is this a championship? Can this team win a championship? I think most people would have said, probably not. That would have been the consensus, where they go from being a pretty good team to an absolute freight train. And the idea that this team finishes the postseason with 15 straight wins and a championship and a parade. Can you think of any parallels? I was thinking UConn, maybe that first of two back-to-back titles, but that's college. That's different. They were a 4 seed. Nobody was really expecting them to do what they did in the tournament, but this is unusual, if not unprecedented. Can you think of anything?
It's unprecedented in the NBA because the team that people seem to be comparing this Knicks team was the Pistons with Billups and the Wallaces and Rip Hamilton. And I think it's a terrible comparison because that Pistons team was down 3-2 to the Nets. One game six at whatever they were calling the arena in East Rutherford at that point, then blasted the Nets in game seven. If it wasn't for that Tayshaun Prince block in game two against Indiana, they would have very easily lost that series. And then the Lakers were just so done at that point because Kobe and Shaq hated each other at that point that it didn't matter. I guess that UConn one's pretty good because, Will, we were on that Megapod together. I picked Iona in that 13-4 game in round one. And then UConn, of course, started the run where they won the title and covered 12 straight games in the two title runs. So, yeah, I guess so. It's hard because baseball, I don't really there isn't a team that wasn't truly dominant going in that didn't freight train their way through. Hockey, no one freight trains their way through ever. So yeah, I guess the first of the two Hurley titles, which was 23, is probably the best comp. But yeah, Will, I'll admit it. I picked Atlanta to beat the Knicks in round one. I thought it was a bad matchup for the Knicks. And quite honestly, Will, it was the worst matchup that the Knicks had so far in this postseason. I mean, Atlanta had them 2-1 and everyone was freaking out. And then since then, the Knicks have looked like the peak Durant Curry Warriors that won 15 straight about a decade ago.
All right, game three. On one hand, and Knicks are laying two here, on one hand, you could say, you know what, this could easily, probably should be 1-1. Both games were a coin flip. I think Knicks get one of them, but stealing both of them, it feels like 1-1 is more of a justified score. Spurs led by two in the final minute of game two, despite, you know, the comeback, and then they led by a point in game one, pretty late. They led by 14 in the second half. Spurs should have gotten one of these games. It's an even series. All these games are going to be close. That's the case for the Spurs. And you know what? If you win this one, all of a sudden, the series feels a lot different. The other case is, you know what? Knicks are up 2-0. You just trust them to get a bucket when they need it more. That garden, that building is going to be a madhouse. And the Spurs, a young Spurs team in that building, this could get ugly. Which sort of camp do you fall in line with here? What do you like here for game three?
Well, I think this series is a sweep now. I think it's a sweep. Now, I have no idea what the game flow is in game three. I would not be surprised if we look up at the end of the first quarter and it's like, oh, the Knicks are up 34-16 at the end of one, and it's just a blitz, a complete blitz. San Antonio never recovers. Yeah, look, it's the NBA. It'll make a run. They'll get it down to six at some point. But it never feels quite in danger. Or it's one of these scenarios where San Antonio has a great start to the game, kind of like game one, right? Like where in that second quarter, you kind of looked up and like, oh, San Antonio's up seven. And also at the same time, I was thinking like, wow, the Knicks, like Brunson's been banged up. They've had foul issues. Like the Knicks are only down by three with a minute to go in the first half of game one. So there are a lot of paths. The only thing I feel pretty good about is that the Knicks win. I think I would just take the money line in that scenario since it's only a deuce right now, Will. I think I'll just lay the extra price on the money line. But Will, I look, going into this series, I thought these teams were dead even. I still think they're pretty darn close. But I think it just the Knicks experience, because I picked the Knicks in six pre-series, I thought the Knicks experience, even though it wasn't finals experience, this group has a ton of playoff experience, whether it's with the Knicks or Towns with his playoff experience getting to the West Final in Minnesota. Brunson and Hart and Bridges obviously have, I know it's different, but I mean, they all played in national title games. Brunson and Bridges played in two. Brunson and Bridges, even though DiVincenzo won the mop in the second one, they were the best players on that Villanova team. These guys have high leverage experience, and the San Antonio guys, yes, I know they just beat Oklahoma City in a 7-game series, but that was the only high leverage experience any of those guys realistically had for the key contributors. I know Cornette won a title. I know Barnes has won a title, but those are the 8th and 9th guys on this team. So I think the Knicks win game three. I think they win game four. I will be in the tri-state area. Later this week, if the parade is on Friday, even though I'm not, again, I'm one of the rare people who grew up in the area who's not a diehard Knicks fan, I think I would be obliged to go to the Canyon of Heroes if the parade is on Friday, if the Knicks are to sweep. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I think the Knicks win game three, they win game four, and this series doesn't go back to San Antonio.
You don't have an NBA team, right? You're not an NBA fan.
No,
I was
very young. We had season tickets to the Nets when Kidd was there, when they made their two finals. And then that was fun, rooted for the Nets when I was like 8 to 15, 16 years old. Then the Nets got terrible. They moved to Brooklyn. I was like, all right, I'm going to college, in Missouri. Like, I'm not bothering anymore. So that's how I, am with the NBA. I have no real team, but this is, look, for growing up where I grew up, this is an amazing story. I mean, the Knicks fans, well, you know it, like, the Knicks, since the 99 finals, were a joke. They were a joke up until this group got there. And it's pretty amazing that firing Tibbs and bringing in Mike Brown is looking like it's going to pay the reward for what they wanted to happen with firing a guy who took the Knicks to the furthest they've been in 26 years until now, which, of course, now two wins away from winning a title.
If the Knicks do win a title like you and I expect, is Mike Brown a Hall of Fame coach?
Oh, wow. If the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame didn't put everyone in, I would say no. But they legitimately just put Doc Rivers in. So, yes, I guess. I mean, look, what this does is, like, Jalen Brunson now, like, well, let's think of Jalen Brunson for a second. I know you asked about Brown, but I want to talk about Brunson for a second, where this guy was the best player in college basketball, like the clutchest player in college basketball for 3 years, or 2 years, because he was a role player on the first title team. National player of the year. The NBA is like, oh, he's too small. Even though he's got the NBA pedigree, his dad, obviously, Rick played in the NBA for a while. Like, all right, he's going to go to the second round. We're going to pick him. I think Dallas picked him at 38. And then Dallas decides not to pay him. And now he's this bona fide superstar who, look, if the Knicks win the title, Jalen Brunson's a Hall of Famer too. So it's pretty crazy that a guy that the league decided, oh, he's too small, even though he was the best winner in college basketball, the best player in college basketball, a guy whose dad was in the NBA. It's like, sometimes we just overthink things. This happens in all sports. But sometimes these pro teams just, they know too much. They think, overthink it, and it's like, oh, well, here you go. Like, the guys who are paying attention, like, of course Brunson was going to be a good pro, even though he's undersized.
Yeah, and him being a good pro is not shocking to me, but I'll admit, I'll put my hand up. When the Knicks signed him, and this was their big move, I was like, man, he's never made an all-star team. Is he ever going to make an all-star team? Like, him being the best player on a title team, which, hey, you're two wins away from that happening, and you can make the case Towns has been the best player in this series. But look, it's not a prototypical title team. It's not a prototypical, like, hey, he's, Jokic or LeBron or one of these all-time great players. But those banners hang forever. And if he wins this for the Knicks, man, it's, look, all of these guys get bumped up because of the drought, because of how just inept the Knicks were as a franchise. This is going to be a very special championship. I've compared it to the Dallas one in 2011 because Dirk, hung around. He stayed there. They got upset a few times. They stuck with it. And that was just sort of an organic championship where, they didn't build a super team. They didn't get a bunch of free agents. They just kept sticking with it. And it ended up being a special run, and this one will be on that, sort of on that level. We'll do more on the finals when we get back. We'll talk some NHL. We'll talk some baseball. I want to get Jeff's thoughts on finals MVP. So keep it here. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should've Bet More podcast. Stick around.
Back to Shoulda Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're back. Shoulda Bet More podcast, ESPN Las Vegas. Jeff Parles, you joined us. All right, Jeff, I was talking about it, when we were going to break, just what this title means. I made comparisons to the Dallas title. Your thoughts, is this, how is this going to be looked at 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Any thoughts from you in terms of like putting this in perspective?
I want to go even bigger impact than you said. The only championships that will have meant more in the last, 80 years of professional sports in this country for the market will be the Red Sox winning in 2004 and the Cubs winning in 2016. That's it. Those are the only two. Because, Will, like, New York, and you know this, you're an East Coast guy, New York has two baseball teams, two football teams, three hockey teams. Yes, the Nets exist, but the split for Knicks versus Nets is like 98-2. It's the one team that basically everyone in that area roots for. So to me, this is, nothing's the Cubs winning in 16 and nothing is the Red Sox winning in 04 because just the lore of baseball seems more impactful, but there's no football championship that rivals this. This is much bigger than the Rangers winning the title in 94. The only one that would even be close in North American sports is whenever the Leafs win a title. So the impact is insane if the Knicks finish this off.
All right. We're both kind of handing them the trophy. I will say this too. I mentioned this in my open. If you went into this series and you lost in six or seven, if you're the Knicks, you know what? Heartbreaking, but you had a great year. Even if you got swept, it was a great year. You made the finals.
Yeah.
It's been a great run. You are now at the point, if you're the Knicks, if you ever lost this series, it would be not a tough pill to swallow. It would be devastating. The Knicks fans can feel it. They can taste it. Up 2-0, heading home for games three and four. I mean, you get three home games here. You have to win it now. Is there a scenario? Can you see a situation where, you know what, Spurs are up 10 Monday night in game three, and we're all sort of rethinking, oh, maybe this series, even if the Knicks get there, maybe this series has another chapter and the Spurs have a little run in them?
Oh, I mean, look, if San Antonio wins game three, absolutely. Basically, what that does, if the Spurs win game three, it puts the Knicks in a scenario where you got to have game four. You go back to San Antonio up 3-1, all right, you got game six in your back pocket. You're still probably fine, but that adds an extra layer to game four that, I mean, you're right. It would be cataclysmic at this point if the Knicks blew this series, just because of everything we just said. Like, it's this franchise, that city, and this, look, Will, this feels like you got to take advantage of the opportunity, because this is the weakest the Spurs are going to be. Oklahoma City, you have to imagine that Spurs and the Thunder are probably going to play each other the next 5 years in the Western Conference Finals, realistically speaking, assuming that Wemby stays in San Antonio. So, yeah, it feels like, and this is the weakest the East is going to be too. Like, Indiana's going to be back the next 2 years. The Celtics are likely going to be back. I have no idea what to make of Cleveland. Detroit, I think, is a fraudulent team, but they'll be good in the regular season. But it feels like, especially now, if you lose this series, it's cataclysmic if you're the Knicks.
Brunson's even money to win finals MVP. Towns is plus 180. Wemby's plus 390. Everyone else, astronomical odds. Is there a bet to be made here?
If I had a vote today, it has to be Towns, right? It has to be Towns at the current moment, because he's outplayed the best player in the NBA through two games. And unlike, look, I've been picking on Chet all week, including on ESPN Vegas, but Holmgren was an embarrassment the last two games of that series against San Antonio. He's an embarrassment. And to see someone who knows, hey, Wemby's 7'4", he's 20 feet long, he's going to block my shot every once in a while, and I don't care. Like, that's what Towns' attitude has been in this series, and he's taken it right, too. A guy who's never, realistically speaking, and Barkley brought it up, I forget if it was on the postgame or halftime, like, this is the first time that Wemby's got his butt yeah. whipped, probably in his life. And that's because of Karl Anthony Towns. I would vote for Towns. If Brunson is two large games, he probably, in the Knicks sweep, Brunson probably still finds a way to hold on, but I think Towns should be the favorite at the moment, Will. I don't think that's a bad price at plus 180.
Did you have a problem with the foul call after the Wemby turnover? Do you blame Wemby? Do you blame Castle for the bad pass? I get it. You got to call it. I mean, Brunson, I don't want to, maybe he didn't flop. He certainly embellished the contact, if nothing else. If you're trying to stay on your feet there, you stay on your feet. But he did the smart thing. He felt the contact. He hit the floor. Did you have a problem with the foul call? What would you blame, or how would you, split up the blame in terms of that Wemby turnover, which is a terrible turnover?
I mean, definitely a foul. Now, this is interesting. I was texting with one of my friends during the end of game scenarios, like, hey, Mitch Johnson doesn't call timeout in that circumstance. If they get a stop and there's time left. We saw that earlier in the playoffs, right? The one where, because the helter-skelter, Champagne missed the open look at the end. Everyone freaked out. Why didn't he call timeout? It's like, well, you got your best three-point shooter wide open three. Like, you can't really do much better than that. And I, knew, hey, he's not calling a timeout. And it was interesting because there's a little bit of indecision from Wembanyama on that. Like, if I know that the coach is not going to call a timeout, I would hope Wembanyama knows. And I think it was just a little bit of everything. I think Wembanyama was indecisive. Castle was completely clueless. It was just a bad run of circumstances that went against San Antonio. I'm not really going to blame anyone. I think it's just, look, they made a bad play. Wemby was uncertain for whatever reason, even though his coach does the, hey, if it's free flowing, I'm not taking a timeout. It just was a bad play. It happens. It just happened at a very bad time for the Spurs.
Do you have an issue with the Tony Brothers crew? He's the one. I thought game one was officiated pretty well. I thought Brothers, I never like his games. It feels like he's always trying to insert himself into the game. Did you have the same feeling watching game two?
I thought game one first half was horrible. I thought they got better as the game went along. Look, Tony Brothers is what he is. Him and Scott Foster are the two guys that if you see, you always have the Donaghy thing in the back of your mind, fair or not. You always have it in the back of the mind with those two guys. Look, Brothers is for a guy who gets high profile assignments is not a good ref. The same thing with Foster. It's the two of them. Those are the two guys who I think are the most guilty of it. But look, he is what he is. You deal with it. And look, I thought when I saw Brothers was the head officials, I thought San Antonio will find a way to win this game one way or another, and they didn't. So even in these circumstances where you think something is as close to a certainty, it's not. That's what makes this fun, right, Will? That's what makes this fun.
Oh, absolutely. And we're up to 2.5 now, so Nick's getting some money as we record this. Total 215.5. I would say this. I'll bet a lot of stuff. Betting
Will,
NBA totals.
Big no thank you. Go ahead. Big no thank you on that one.
I'm with you. We'll do some baseball here on the other side. Did you have a thought, Stanley Cup? Obviously, I mean, boy, we're on a hell of a run here between the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals. You just get a classic every night, it seems. We're 5-for-5 in good games. It kind of makes you think we're due for a stinker. Do you have any thought here? Who wins Vegas, Carolina game four for the series?
So I picked Carolina in 7 pre-series. I think these teams are dead even, despite the record difference in the year. Vegas is not the team they were for 74 games. That's not this team. This team is a highly loaded talent team that is getting reasonable goaltending finally, which credit to Carter Hart. Boy, if Vegas lost last night after being up 4-0 in the third period, if they lost that game on Saturday night, it would be like, oh, all right, this thing is Carolina's probably going to win, and they're probably going to do it in 5 or 6. Because I don't know how you would have recovered from how they lost game two and then do that in game three, but look, they got the bounce. Credit to them. Really, in all honesty, it was really just a bad 39 seconds because the 3 goals in 39 seconds really was what, because the rest of that game, Vegas was better, even though Carolina tied it later. I'm going to stick with what I had. I still think Carolina wins in 7. I just think in the end, they are better. But now there is a decided goalie advantage for Vegas because I don't know what Rip Brind'Amour is going to do moving forward. Because I thought Anderson's been terrible for 2 rounds now. The backup was good last night. The goal he gave up was really just bad luck more than anything else. But I don't know what you do if you're Brind'Amour. I think you're in a really bad spot because the guy who was your number one goalie most of the year and was really good the first 2 rounds looks like the guy who's been terrible in the postseason the last few years. So I don't know what you do if you're Brind'Amour. And I don't love changing goalies at this point, but you might have no choice.
In the final minute or so, winner of game 4 wins the series where, you know what, if it's 2-2, Carolina figures out a way to win. And obviously Vegas, if they go up 3-1, they're going to win.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
Well, okay. And look, for all of us that are neutral observers, obviously we root for our bets. You root for your favorite teams. But, you know, summer's here. Summer's coming. I would love game 7 NHL, game 7 NBA, and get this thing as long as possible. I always say this. When NBA and NHL end, usually you got like 5-6 weeks to the Hall of Fame game. So the longer these things go, the better. I think NHL, we're obviously on track for a long series. Who knows? It doesn't look like that in the NBA. But one Spurs win on Monday night, and that will feel differently. I think a lot of people will say, all right, well, this is maybe a different series than we thought. When we come back, we'll do some baseball. We'll wrap up next. Jeff Parles, ESPN Las Vegas. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Should have been more podcast.
Welcome back to Should Have Bet More on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, wrapping up here. Should have bet more podcast. Jeff Parles, ESPN Las Vegas. All right, Jeff, let's do a little baseball. The Judge injury. Is there a bet to be made off this? To me, I don't think it's the end of the world. You know, you start to wonder, has Judge won his last MVP? Maybe that's premature. Maybe it's not. I mean, you start to get to the age where he's not going to win it this year. And you know, how many more prime Judge years do you get? And you start to wonder, is he ever going to win a World Series in New York? But I don't know. Is there any takeaway here? I think, like I said, not the end of the world. If it's not season ending, Yankees are still going to make the playoffs. They'll probably win the division. You'd prefer to win the division. But I don't know. Did you have any takeaways here from the Judge injury and any betting fallout?
I have no idea who the MVP is now. Like I don't know what I would do with that market, because Jordan has been by far the best player in the American League, right? Like, Jordan is putting up Barry Bonds, like, not quite Barry Bonds' peak, but post, like, a few years after this, Pittsburgh numbers are like, he has been so good. But the Astros are terrible. So I don't know what to do with the American League MVP race now. The Yankees benefit from the fact that the American League is awful. So the Yankees, despite being without Judge, and I have a ton of concerns about their lineup moving forward without him, their pitching is good enough that they should be fine. They still should win the American League East. I think, look, Tampa's always a solid story, but they're frauds. They're frauds. They're complete frauds. And I would not be surprised if they end up missing the playoffs. They might not, because they've given themselves such a big lead to get a playoff spot, but they're not any good. None of the Central teams are any good. And the Mariners are probably good, but I still have my questions about them. So, look, the Yankees will be fine. They'll likely end up with the American League East, and will likely end up with one of the top two seeds still, even without being without Judge. But that's more about the American League being terrible than me really trusting the Yankees, Will.
And I'm rooting for Ben Rice. Gave him out, bet him 150-1 MVP. I'm ready to get my heart broken and have him finish second or third, which seems to be the way these goes recently for me with these long shot tickets. But hey, happy to be in that position. I mentioned that Kurtz maybe 11-1 could be a bet. Caminero, I do think there's somebody other than Witt or Alvarez, because I can't bet those guys at that short numbers with this much time left, especially being on bad teams. 2 months from now, Tarik Skubal is on what team?
The Detroit Tigers.
Really?
I don't think he's getting traded. I just think if you're Detroit, it's such a weird circumstance with the injury, right, Will? Like, you're, and it's so hard because, like, Detroit's probably losing him. Now, the one thing that might, if the CBA, the public stuff for the CBA negotiations is telling it all, the team like the Tigers might be helped by the fact that there could be a salary cap and Skubal's salary could be suppressed and maybe you keep him. But again, it's hard to, the injury complicates everything, right? Like, even though he should be able to pitch again this year, what happens if his rehab is bad? And then, like, it's so convoluted. So I'm going to take the easy way out. He's still a Detroit Tiger. Boy, what a disaster for them this year across the board, right? Like, this is supposed to be the year where it's like, all right, the American League on paper looks down. The Central is awful. We should coast to win the division after last year's collapse down the stretch. We should have a chance to be the one seed and have a chance to finally bring a title to Detroit for the first time since the early 80s. And they stink. They stink. There also is something to be said that Framber is just a locker room cancer. Like, it just, that locker room feels so, like, from afar, so, so bad. And look, fair or not, Framber is going to get blamed because of just what he is. I mean, the incident earlier this year with the Red Sox, what he did last year to his own catcher, and the fact that he was, what happened earlier this week with Naylor, where Naylor's like, oh, Framber's just laughing his behind off in the dugout, and like, oh, I knew it was intentional then. So, it just feels like a toxic situation across the board there in Detroit.
It's remarkable, too, the parallels between the Mets and the Tigers, where 2024, they both get red hot, come out of nowhere, make deep runs in the playoffs. 2025, they're both cruising, they both collapse. Yes, Detroit made the playoffs, the Mets didn't, but both had terrible second halves, or both, you know, late August on, however you want to mark it. And then this year, both teams are favorite to win the division. I know Detroit was a heavier favorite, and both, you know, falling on their face. It's kind of remarkable. I hadn't really thought about it till now, the parallels here between the Tigers and the Mets.
Yeah, you know, and they're both 5.5 games behind a wild card spot entering Sunday's action too, Will. But, you know, yeah, there's parallels. I think the bigger thing too for the Mets, I don't think the Mets are, look, you're only 5.5 out and it's June 7th, June 8th, when everyone will hear this. Like, you're not dead if you're only 5.5 out, right? Like, there's still basically 100 games to go. The thing with the Mets that annoys me is Soto has been so good the last 3 weeks since fully being healthy. And yeah, they've been better, but that April is just so pathetic that they're too big of a, it's just such a big hole. I don't think you're dead because like, and I don't, look, even though I kind of made it that I think Detroit's dead, I don't think Detroit's dead either because there are, Will, this year in baseball to me, I don't think there's any elite teams in the American League. The only two elite teams in baseball are the Dodgers and the Braves. Everyone else is massively flawed. And there could very easily be a team that's like not even on our radar for the playoffs this year at the current moment that's in as the five or the six in either league. So there is some value to be had. I just like the problem is I don't know if these numbers are good enough to be bet on these teams that are like, hey, they might be out of it already. Like the Mets, Detroit. I know they're not like out of it, but Texas is a team that's underachieved so far this year. The Astros are terrible, but would it shock you if Houston made the playoffs at 84-78 because the American League stinks? It can't be too shocking there, Will.
What is one football thought? NFL, I guess. We'll leave it to NFL. What is like your hottest NFL take, your strongest NFL opinion a few months away here from training camp is what?
The Dolphins are the worst team in the NFL by margin. By margin. And I the one thing that is going to be fascinating with Miami, week one is Raiders-Dolphins. Will, that's a game where both teams have very low win totals. Both teams I expect to be bottom feeding teams this year. Someone's got to win that game, right? And I just wonder if Miami steals that one week one, do I just unload on Miami's alternate win total under when it's an extra win or an extra half after week one and hope they win here in Vegas against the Raiders? But I think that team is awful. And I also hated the Halfley hire. I think the two worst coaches in the NFL are in the AFC East, Halfley and Glenn. So I think Miami's going to be terrible. I think they're the worst team in the NFL. But that week one game against the Raiders is so critical to figuring out how I want to realistically bet them. Because I look, that is a winnable game for Miami. Absolutely a winnable game against a Raider team that I think is probably 2 years away from realistically being able to compete again.
And most books don't let you do this, but if you have enough outs, some books let you parlay season win totals. And that's one where you just pick the whoever you think's going to win week one. Hey, I think the Raiders are going to win. Don't you just parlay Raiders over wins with Dolphins under wins? Because it's so there's not many wins to go around for those teams where if the Raiders win week one, they're more likely to go over and vice versa. Where that one, if you're getting a fair bang for your buck, that might be correlated. Did you have a take on the Myles Garrett trade? I don't know if I've talked about that yet on this podcast. I actually loved it for Cleveland. Hey, if I'm going to win four games with Myles Garrett, I can win four games without him. Versus already a tremendous player. He's young. You get picks. You start to see, hey, if I could find a quarterback at some point, easier said than done, over the next year or two, I've got the seeds here of a promising core, possibly. I loved it for Cleveland. Certainly understand it for the Rams. What was your take on the Garrett trade, which came out of nowhere last Monday?
Amazing trade for both sides. I actually like it better for Cleveland for the exact reasons you said. They're going to win three or four games anyway. Let's get more draft capital and a guy who's younger. And look, no one's Myles Garrett. He's the best defensive player in the NFL, but Jared Verse is really good and has the potential to be a top five pass rusher in this league. So I loved it for Cleveland. I thought it was a phenomenal deal for Cleveland, and I thought it was a phenomenal deal for the Rams because they got to win the title one in the next 2 years while Stafford's still playing.
Yeah, and they've shown the ability to draft later where, hey, we don't have our first-round pick, we don't have our second-round pick, but we can make do, we can develop these guys later rounds. Jeff, in the final 30 seconds or so, where can we find you?
ESPN Las Vegas, Cofield & Company, 3 to 6 Pacific, 6 to 9 Eastern on ESPN Las Vegas a few times a week.
All right, that'll do it. Thank you to Jeff Parles. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Remember this podcast every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, wherever you get your podcast, 6 a.m. Eastern usually is when it hits. So check out that. Rate, review, subscribe. Stay tuned to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thank you guys for listening to the Shoot a Bet More podcast. Thank you to Jeff Parles. We'll be back on Wednesday. Will the Knicks be going for a title, or will we have a series of two games to one? See you guys Wednesday.